Welcome to an incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, Associate Pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Well, as Pastor Ron said, we are not only continuing in our series, but we're actually finishing our series here on faith supplements, spiritual ingredients for a godly life. And we have been going through the seven spiritual ingredients listed out in 2 Peter chapter 1 that Peter tells us that if we apply to our life would help us grow in our relationship with God, that we would be closer to Him. It will make us effective in our relationship with Jesus. And so, and we listed them out like supplements, like vitamins. You know, vitamins, minerals, and herbs, they're all important for our overall health and nutrition. But similarly, there is a such thing as spiritual nutrition as well. Being able to add to our spiritual walk, our spiritual health, things like vitamins, spiritual ingredients to help us grow us healthy believers in Christ. And so we talked about how it's important that, that God has given us everything we need for a godly life. Everything you need to get closer to God, He has given you. In fact, the Bible says that He's also giving you the willingness, the desire, and the ability to draw closer to God. I think that is so encouraging that God gives you the desire that you have. It comes from God, and He gives you the ability to do it. He gives us everything, and we get to partake in that, in the nature of God to draw closer to Him. And so we talked about virtue, the first spiritual ingredient, which is the courage to do the right thing in every situation, how we must add that to our faith, the willingness to do the right thing. Regardless of what culture says is the right thing, the Word of God declares to us what is right. And so we need godly convictions. We talked about the second thing, the second spiritual ingredient, which is knowledge. Not just the courage to do the right thing, but knowing what that right thing is. That we continue to add knowledge from the Word of God that we may know what is right. You know, there are times in life where society and culture can get muddy. You know, 2020 was one of those times. It got a little muddy. But the Word of God adds knowledge to what is right. That we continue to seek the Word of God. It's one of the things I appreciated about you, Pastor Ron, during that season. Pastor Ron really, you know, really taught me the importance of going to the Word of God to find out what is true. Not just our opinions. There was a lot of opinions floating out in that time. But going to the Word of God to know what is true. Thank you. And understanding that and doing that, knowing what is right in God's eyes is what matters. Then adding thirdly to our faith, self-control, which is the ability to do the right thing in the moment of temptation. You know, there are times in life when that moment of temptation comes up and we know the right thing. We know what the right thing is and we want to do it. Self-control gives us the ability to do it when it matters. That we have a mastery over our desires and dominion within, which cannot happen just on our own power. We need the Holy Spirit's empowering grace in our life. Fourthly, the fourth spiritual ingredient, perseverance. We talked about perseverance as the ability to remain under discipline, to continue to stay under discipline, and that we persevere through hardship. We persevere with people, and we persevere in the faith. Our fifth spiritual ingredient, godliness. We talked about now growing in conforming to the character of God in every area of our life. God's expectation for us is to grow in godliness. In fact, we should all expect us, one another, to grow in godliness. And God doesn't want us just to act godly. He doesn't want us just to act godly, but to become godly, to grow in godliness. And then last week, we talked about brotherly love, brotherly kindness, the importance of loving fellow believers like family. And we are family. Amen. I love that about our church. We're family. We keep the main thing, and we truly do love each other like family. Let us continue to do that as well. And that brings us to the seventh and the last spiritual ingredient listed out in 2 Peter chapter 1, which is love. Let's go ahead and read that passage, verses 5 through 7 in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, add knowledge. To knowledge, add self-control. To self-control, add perseverance. To perseverance, add godliness. To godliness, add brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, add love." You know, it feels like there's a ramp up. As we get closer to God, there's a maturity that happens. That we want to do the right thing. Then we want to know what the right thing is, and that we choose to do the right thing when it matters most, and that we continue doing the right thing. And then there's this jump into not just doing the right thing, but now becoming like God in godliness. And then it becomes from coming like God to now showing that godliness to our friends and our family within the body of Christ. And then it jumps up to reflecting who God is to the world and loving people. Love. Peter says that having these qualities will, that we will be fruitful and effective for Jesus. In fact, he says that if we practice these qualities, that we will never fail. Well, that is a very, very strong claim and very encouraging. That these seven things, that if we continually add them to our life, that we continue to mature in these seven areas, that we will continue to stay strong for Jesus. So these qualities are very important, especially the very last one, which is love. So let's talk about it. Now, I think that love is one of those words that have been thrown around in our culture so much that, especially for the younger generation, it has kind of lost its value. It's lost its meaning. You know, we throw around love like it's kind of like it doesn't really mean the same thing. You can say it and not really mean it. However, love does have value. In fact, it is probably the most important quality, or the greatest quality, let me say it that way, that we can add to our life. Probably one of the greatest values that we can add to our life is love. So, with that said, what is love? And just to qualify it, it may be important to know where we get where the source of our definition of love comes from. And it's not from society, it's not from culture, it's not from what's trending. It comes from God himself. God is love. So, according to God, according to his word, what is love? I'm going to give two definitions, one coming from the dictionary, which gets its definition from the Bible, and then a working definition, one that I work together. So, but before we do that, I want to talk about what love is not. Love is not just a feeling. Love is more than just a feeling. It's not just a warm fuzzy that we get. That's not just love, or that's not what love is. Love is not just a chemical in our brain. Some would say that love is not a value. It's just something that's produced in your brain that comes from your body. I don't believe that. Okay, love is greater than just a chemical being produced in our brain. You see, because a feeling just comes and goes. And if our love comes and goes, then it's very fickle. True love doesn't come and go. True love comes from God, and his love for us does not come and go. Thank God that his love for us doesn't just come whenever he feels like it and he takes away when he doesn't. Golly, that would be a very, very traumatic relationship. Thanks be to God that he gives us a stronger definition of what love is. True love is also not about getting. It's not just about what I can get. It's not just about receiving. Love is not just about getting what I want. Love is not just about what makes me happy. I believe that love goes higher than just about what I want and what makes me happy. Some people might define it that way, but I believe it's just because they may not have seen a greater love, understood and seen what true love looks like. It's not about my own pleasure. That is not what true love is. So let's get to our two definitions. First, coming from the Webster's Dictionary. Webster's Dictionary says that love is the unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. I really like that definition. Love is the unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. And again, Webster got his definition from the Bible. That concept comes from the Word of God. Now, that word agape, after kind of doing a verse search, I put together a working definition. The second definition I want to give, love is the decision to bring about God's best for someone else. It's the decision to bring about God's best for someone else. My concern, my desire is that I want God's best for that person. That's love. If I love you, I want God's best for you. And I'm going to do whatever I can to make that happen. But it's a decision. Now that the working definition comes primarily from John 3:16. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So there's four things that I found in John 3:16 that I believe speak about love. Number one is that love focuses on others. Love focuses on others. It says, "For God so loved the world." Not God loved himself, he loved the world. Love focuses on others. Again, it's not about getting what I want. It's about blessing other people. Love motivates us to help other people, to help others. It motivates us. God so loved the world, not so that he would be blessed, but so that he can help us, that he could reach us. God already has everything that he needs. He loved us so that we would be blessed. Love focuses on others. Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." His love was toward you. It tells us that love focuses on others. It's focused on you. It has an aim. It has a focus on somebody else. If I'm just loving myself, it's the lowest form of love. We can love ourselves, but there's so much more to love. True love focuses on others. It has no ulterior motive. It has no hidden agenda. Love simply cares about others. And when we are operating in his love, when we're operating in the new nature, because love is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, when he tells us to love, he didn't mean for us to love in our ability, just in our own capacity. Our love has limits, and it stops with certain people, or it stops to a certain point. But he calls us to agape love, his love, to love according to his love. We can't do it without the new nature operating on the inside of us. Love simply cares about others. The second thing we see in John 3:16 is that love is a decision. Love is a decision that we make. We decide to love. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He decided to give. He made a decision that he was going to do something about our situation because we had no chance. We were so far away from God, there was no chance. He wanted to do something about that. So he decided that he was going to love. He was going to do something about it. He decided that he was going to give. Love motivates us to action. Think about Giotto and all the things that we were doing. Our team went. We decided we were going to do something about it. Tina's heart was breaking. Katie's heart was breaking. Their mama's hearts were breaking. Pastor Ron's father's heart was breaking. Inside, you know what? We came back. Our hearts broke. We wanted to do something about it. We decided that we were going to. It was love operating on the inside of us. It encourages us to choose to do something about a situation. Love is not just a feeling, because feelings can change over time. But our love cannot be tied to just how we feel. I love this quote from A.W. Tozer. He says, love is not a feeling, it is a willing. Love is not a feeling, it is a willing. When Jesus tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, he did not mean for us to feel love for them. We are to choose to love them and to choose to show grace. And there are times where it is hard to love somebody. Sometimes there is a time where it's hard. But we just have to be willing. If we're willing, we may not be feeling it, but if we're willing to show some love, I believe that that's what operates. It allows the Holy Spirit to work on the inside of us to produce love and to show grace to someone else. The third thing that we see is that love is a sacrifice. Love is a sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave up his son Jesus. Because he loved, he wanted to do something about it. He made a sacrifice. Jesus made a sacrifice. You know, it cost God something. Jesus, it cost him something. The Word of God tells us that he did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, and he emptied himself. He made a sacrifice for you. It cost him something. And love will cost you. Because he loved us, he offered up his son as a sacrifice. And just like he did, it's going to cost us something whenever we choose to love somebody. And many times, when it comes to our family, it's just what it is. But whenever we're called to love somebody that maybe it's not in our natural bent to do so, it will cost us something. But man, is it worth it? It is so worth the price that we are paying for the families in Giotto. It is so worth it. Oh my goodness. And what we're doing around the world, it is so worth it, but it does cost us something. And then fourthly, love desires to see God's best. Love focuses on others. Love is a decision. Love is a sacrifice. And love desires to see God's best. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but will have eternal life. God didn't want to just save us from hell. He wanted us with him in eternity. He gave us his best. He gave his son, but then on top of that, he gave us eternity. And on top of that, he adopted us into his family. He gave us his best. God wants best. God wants his best for everyone. He says that whoever believes, it's for everyone. In God's love, when we are loving, we want God's best for everyone. Not just for our family, but even for our enemies. He says to love your enemies. He means God's best. God's best. Wow. You know, it brings me back to what we do in our church. You know, that's one of the reasons why we care about sharing the gospel and reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that people would be saved, because that is God's best. But even for born-again believers, they're still God's best. God desires for us to be blessed. We should look to be a blessing. Look to be a blessing. Look to help people. Look for God's best in someone else's life. That's what love looks like. Love focuses on others. Love is a decision. Love is a sacrifice, and love desires to see God's best. And one more scripture I want to walk through is one that we are all too familiar with, 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll go through it quickly. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. If we are to love the way that God calls us to love, then we have to be patient with people. We have to love people in spite of their faults. Refuse to take offense. And be careful not to demand perfection from people. We don't even demand that from ourselves. Let us be patient with people. We've got to be kind. Intentionally love people with our words, not tearing them down. As believers, we shouldn't be tearing people down. Not just at church, but anywhere. Not tearing people down, but to be kind. Especially in a world full of hurt, we need more kindness coming from the church. Let us not be envious. Let us not compete with people, and instead be content with what God has given us. Envy causes us to treat people wrongfully. Let us not allow envy to boil up in our heart. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones, is what Proverbs 14 says. Do not boast, he says. Let us not brag to people about what we have and what they don't. Let us not be proud. Let us not build ourselves and brag on ourselves and puff ourselves up in our own hearts to where we are unable to love somebody else. Let's humble ourselves. Pride produces a judgmental spirit, which is not from God. Let us not dishonor others. Let's not be rude to people, but treat people with honor and respect and grace. Let us not seek after our own desires. Let us not put ourselves in our interest before others. In other words, not using people to get what we want. That is from the devil. Let us look out for the interest of others instead. Let us not be easily angered. Let's not allow ourselves to be easily irritated or provoked. Let's not wear our buttons like a sweater, ready to be pushed. But instead, let's relax and overlook offenses. People shouldn't walk on eggshells around us. Let us not hold grudges or harbor resentment in our hearts. Let us not credit the offense of others to an account and keep hold of it. But instead, let's work hard to forgive and forget. I think that's a great quality, to work hard to forgive and to forget. It's one of the godliest things that we can do for somebody else, I believe. Let's not harbor evil. Enjoy the mistreatment of others. Instead, let us rejoice in the truth. Let us celebrate when the truth wins. Let us speak the truth in love, and let's uphold the truth of God's word. Let us protect people and cover people and not expose their failures. Let's protect people. That's our family, friends, and our enemies. Let's believe in people, as the word of God says. Let us trust all things. Let us believe the best about people. Let us not allow someone's opinion to color the perspective of someone else. But instead, let's give people a chance. Let's believe and invest in people. Let us hope for the best in people. Let's choose to be optimistic, and let's choose to believe for God's best for someone else's future. And lastly, let us persevere with people. Let us never stop loving people. Let us never allow loving people get old. but continue, because that is God. God is love. Let us allow his love to always continue to move in our lives. Let us endure with people in spite of their shortcomings. And let's choose to keep loving people. I have three takeaways, and they are very, very simple. Very simple. Number one, let us decide to love people. Let us make a decision that we are going to love people. You know, we want to be loved. Jesus says to love your neighbor as ourself. Let us choose to love people, our kids, our family, our friends, and our enemies. Let's work hard to love people, to forgive them, to show grace, to be kind. Let's love. And if we are loving people, let me encourage you to keep loving people. Number two, let me encourage you to keep loving people. Let's keep loving them. Let's continue doing it. Let us not allow it to grow old, but let's keep doing it because it's worth it. And then number three, let me encourage you to never stop loving people. Let's never allow it to grow old. Let us continue to love people, because that is the greatest thing that we can add to our life, is that we love people. That when people are around us, they feel heard, they feel believed in, they feel encouraged, they don't feel down, they feel up. They feel like when they are around you that they can accomplish what God has called them to do. They don't feel beat down, they don't feel discouraged, but they want to be around you, and then they want to be like you. They want to love people like you do. Let us not stop loving people. Let us continue to do what God has called us to do, and let us be an example in how we love people. Amen? Amen. The greatest thing that we can add to our life is working hard to love people like he loves you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for your love that you show us every single day. That's not based on our performance, but that's based on your son's blood. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you have loved us. And God, I pray that we would put on love, as your word says, that we would put it on every day, the new nature, and that you would produce love in our life so much so that wherever we go, God, that we would show grace to people, that we would be kind to people, that we would believe in people, that we would be hopeful for people, that we would persevere with people, that we would love people. And God, I pray that it would be your love and not ours. God, I pray that we wouldn't, God, that people would be drawn to us because of your love. God, I pray that your love would change people, that it would draw them to you. And God, that they would want to be like you, that we would set an example that people would want to follow in how we love people. Encourage us. Forgive us where we have failed you, and help us, Lord, God, to move forward today to love people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this dynamic message from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.